Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Panelcast. This is AJ.
And Martin.
This week, we're coming to you from a very peculiar location. Where are we at, Martin?
We are in line for John Carter in IMAX at midnight.
Now, something I was thinking about while I was going to the restroom just now. They say no recording devices allowed in the theater, and yet we're talking into one. Kind of funny that way.
We are rebel scum.
That means we die.
Okay, maybe not.
Anyway, so this week's episode, we're actually on episode 90, which is very exciting for us. We are sitting here at the IMAX theater in line waiting to see John Carter at midnight. Why is that? What drew you to see this movie?
Well, I've always heard about this movie since I was, or this story since I was a kid, the books, and then it was in the comic books for a long time, and just the idea to finally see it on the big screen made it interesting enough to go see it. And then I was able to catch footage at D23 last summer with Disney, and the things that I saw and the work that I saw put in by people like William Dafoe, who's actually a CGI'd character in the film, was really amazing. And the fact that he sat on stilts so that he could appear 9 feet tall while he was acting was really cool, and that kind of dedication looked really great. Special effects are awesome. So all in all, there's a lot of excitement about seeing what they did with the movie.
Okay, very good. I myself am a huge Edgar Rice Burroughs fan. Growing up reading Tarzan, his little foray into Conan for a while that he did, and the Presoon series. So I'm very excited to see this because of that. I grew up on it. But yeah, so we're in line. It's episode 90. In this show, we're going to cover up some news that we've been talking about, some things we read, but most predominantly what we expect out of this film, and WonderCon, which is coming up 1 week away from today. So all that and more, and when we come back.
Hi, this is Brandi Ausette, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandiausette.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
And we're back, and we're still in line for John Carter. Yay.
We got three posters, though.
Yeah, who did the art on the posters?
So Mondo Tees does really famous artwork, and they've been doing a lot of posters lately that sell out within minutes of being released online. And so they did a special John Carter poster, and what the plan was at certain IMAX theaters all over the country, they were going to release a special edition, smaller size edition of the poster for people who attended the midnight showing. So you and I being in line early.
The only ones in line.
It's all right. We got some time. I'm sure more people will show up. And we got our free posters, which looked awesome. I don't know. You and I both kind of looked at them and were impressed by what we saw just by sucking off.
I'm a little bitter to 11 by 17. I think it's a cop-out, but then again, I have a booth full of 11 by 17 posters I'll be selling, so, you know.
It's a little weird to see that it was a smaller size, but the way they do art with their comics or their posters when they redo a movie poster is really interesting, that it seems very minimal in the what's there, but as you look at it more and more and more, things start to pop out at you. And so as we see the movie tonight, we'll probably recognize a lot of the things that are just shapes on that poster.
Well, you know, I also have 11 by 17 scanner at home. I'll scan it, get a regular poster size, and sell it on eBay like it was an original.
And then we'll pay for our tickets that way.
Exactly.
Free movie. That's what I'm calling it.
Let's play catch up on the news. So, I don't know if we covered this in the last podcast, but Martin and I did go see Chronicle, which, in my opinion, was phenomenal. I loved the movie.
Yeah, I think it was a great way to do a movie. The initial concept of seeing a movie that was going to be found footage and information like that seemed
totally played out. Yeah.
Yeah, totally seemed like it had been done. It wasn't going to be exciting. It wasn't going to be great. And then sit there and watch it and just be a comic book fan and want to stand up at the end and start clapping. It was really cool and impressive.
So, on that front, they've already greenlit Chronicle 2 to be released, I think, next year or the year after, which really isn't saying much considering they already greenlit Project X 2, but totally different story now.
Yeah, two very, very different found footage films there, both both about that age group, though, with the high school mentality. But it's very interesting to see a superhero movie, so to speak, get greenlit that far in advance. Hasn't even come to DVD yet. Wasn't a huge mainstream character like Captain America or Superman.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like it was one of the studio comic book hero movies. You know, this is just off the top of somebody's head that they decided to make the movie about it. Just happened to be based on, I wouldn't say superheroes, more anti-heroes, or, you know, but it was still, I love the movie, and I'm excited to see part two.
Right, and to see a character that's not like the Cape TV show that came out, where it seemed like everything they did on that show was pulled from other movies, other TV shows, other comic books, and put in the story. They came up with this idea that you're not sitting there going, oh, that was done in Spider-Man before. It was new. It was something to watch again, and it deserves a sequel. And so,
but it's funny that you related, you know, you use the Cape as an example, because it is very similar to the Cape, the comic book, and where the guy discovers he has powers and decides to fuck everybody up.
Right.
So in that aspect, it is similar.
And that's the thing about it, is when you're talking about the comic book, the Cape is not a mainstream comic book itself. The Cape, the comic book, the Cape, the TV show were two very, very different stories. If you're going to do yourself a favor, read the book. Don't watch the show.
Unless you're into Summer Glau, then you'll deal with it.
Yeah. She was the nice bonus for watching that show. But it was disappointing to see that show was not really... It was like they were trying to combine a bunch of mashed up superheroes in one show. The comic book, though, like you're saying, it's not mainstream, and it was very well done, even though it had a very dark kind of superpowered guy that wasn't necessarily the best superhero, but it was still a good story, and it was something.
It wasn't even really necessarily superpowered; he just could fly.
Yeah, and it was about telling that story on a, I want to say minimal level, but there was so much to that story and the artwork, and it was just different. It was unique. And so the Chronicle movie, very much the same way. It was a unique storytelling, and it was a different way to look at superpowers.
Right. And so, again, to see it been lit for the sequel is very exciting. But also on the same note, the director who's doing that has been tagged to do another movie.
That's right. And Joshua Trank, a lot of people might remember there was some rumors that came out about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, right as Chronicle was starting to get some press, that he was in the running to do a Fantastic Four reboot. But then it turns out this week we learned he's going to do a spin-off of Spider-Man called Venom, featuring everybody's favorite Spider-Man baddie.
Topher Grace.
No. Let's hope not. No sharp teeth for Venom this time around. And so they're going into development on that film. Hasn't necessarily been clarified to be a direct spinoff of the new Amazing Spider-Man movie, but you can see how Sony is pushing this forward, where it could somewhere down the line kind of cross, like the Marvel Avengers movie that's coming out. We saw separate movies. Now all these characters are coming together. It'd be cool to see that happen.
I think what they're trying to do is hop on the crossover bandwagon, like you said, because Sony, the only reason Sony is putting out Spider-Man is to maintain the license on it. If they didn't put out a movie this year, Spider-Man would have reverted back to Disney at this point, who owns everything. And then you would have seen Spider-Man in the Avengers films. But now I think what Sony's doing is they're trying to take all the characters from the properties that they do own, Spider-Man, for example, and maybe give them their own separate films and then create a collaborative movie later on down the line. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw whoever put out the... there was another movie that came out this year, Ghost Rider.
Right.
Whoever put out Ghost Rider trying to do the same thing and incorporating new characters and their own side stories and stuff, which would be interesting. But I believe Sony still owns Blade, which they could tie together at some point, because Blade and Spider-Man do hook up together a lot in the comics. Normally, when Ghost Rider's around, but still, I can see a Morbius storyline coming out, a Venom storyline coming out and stuff, depending on the success of this film.
And it is a great idea, I think, for Sony to try and keep these rights, as much money as Disney may have, and pushing with the Avengers right now. Yeah, that's great for that franchise. But I think that if Disney were to take over something like Spider-Man, Blade, Ghost Rider, we might never see a film, or we're only going to see some sort of kind of quietly put away somewhere else film. It wouldn't be as great, because they're not going to promote these films that aren't family-oriented, and they can't turn into some kind of amusement park ride.
Right, which, again, in that vein, it still surprises me that we have yet to see a sequel to Incredibles, which is hands down one of the best superhero movies I've seen in a while, you know, especially considering it was animated, CGI, But moving forward, there was a third bit of news that was out there. Martin, do you remember what it was?
We were talking about films. One of the other things to talk about real quick, I don't know if how many people got to follow this, but we saw The Amazing Spider-Man that had started their viral campaign, and The Mark of the Spider, if you, or Mark of the Spider-Man, sorry, markofthespider-man.com, and they're doing a lot of viral marketing for the upcoming Spider-Man movie that we were just talking about, The Amazing Spider-Man, coming out in June. And it's involving fans, so get out there and check that one out.
Something else that came out in the past couple weeks that we didn't have a chance to talk about was the new Avengers TV spot. Yeah, it was all about the Hulk in that one.
Oh yeah, I mean there's one scene that I can picture in my head and I will never forget until this movie comes out is Hulk jumping to the side of a skyscraper and catching Iron Man.
Well, catching Iron Man and then landing on the skyscraper.
Right. That'll be they're going to have to top that in the movie, of course. But that scene was, that whole trailer was all about the Incredible Hulk. And for once, you know, of all these characters we've seen for the last few years, Hulk is now getting some airtime. He's now being put on the big screen. And he doesn't look much different than his previous iterations, but you could see a little bit of Mark Ruffalo in there. But it was cool to see the action that they gave.
Right, and that's what I'm excited about, is the action of it. I mean, Ang Lee's Hulk had a little bit of action, but not superhero action. Like, we haven't seen the Hulk throw down with any big baddie since the Abomination. Even that was, I felt like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It didn't feel genuine. What I've seen so far of the Avengers film seems genuine. I mean, he's just losing his shit all over the place, and that's what's got me excited about it. And at the same time, to see him losing his shit and destroying stuff, but still acting as a team member, which leads me to wonder what storyline they're going with. Is it Bruce Banner having the Hulk's body? Is it, you know, Mr. Fix-It? What are we going to see? What kind of iteration of the Hulk are we going to see in this film? And Tony Stark entering Stark Tower, so that was pretty sick, too.
Yeah, that was a cool landing in the suit being taken off as he walks in. One of the things that I found interesting about that trailer, though, was it seemed like Hawkeye and Black Widow were played way down. I don't know what it was about it. Maybe they're just not revealing it all. I know when they did the Iron Man 2 trailers, we saw one clip where Black Widow kicked a little bit of ass, and then later in the movie we got to see that extended scene, but that was about it for her. Are they going to repeat that? And they're, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow are just going to kind of be this small sidekicks in this?
Well, I think what it is because even in the original trailer, you didn't see a lot of their action, but you saw a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happening is that they're still in after doing, post, doing all the additions and special effects and all that stuff, adding onto it. Plus, you're talking about two of the most non-powered heroes ever out there, you know. And Hawkeye, he has no real superpower in that he just knows how to aim. What I did appreciate was in the Avengers comic that came out this week, Hawkeye was, you know, just shooting everything he can. He just kept repeatedly shooting things. And I think it was Avenging Spider-Man. And Spider-Man was like, why do you keep doing that? Why do you keep shooting stuff all the time? And he's like, practice. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, man, I'm on a team with Captain America, a super soldier who can throw a shield everywhere, Iron Man, who's got all this technology, Thor, who's a freaking god. All I've got is my aim. What do I do when I lose that aim? I'm just nobody. So I practice. Every chance I get, I practice. And I thought that was an awesome thing to see in there. And I'm wondering how they're going to incorporate that style into the film. Because, I mean, like you said, you know, we see the film and Hawkeye's flying through the sky once and Black Widow's doing the splits. Now, while I don't mind seeing Black Widow do the splits, I'm not really concerned about how they're going to play in the movie that much, as long as they nail down all the other superpowered people that we have. You know, the Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America. It's going to be, I'm more excited about it than I have been in a long time, because when they first announced that was going to be crap. But now that I've seen everything, I'm really on board.
Yeah, it looks like a really good job. Like you were saying, the backstory for a lot of these characters, we got the backstory in Thor. We got the backstory in Captain America. We've had two backstories for Iron Man. So we have the Hulk, we have Hawkeye, we have Black Widow, who all haven't had major necessarily background stories. We don't know how much this Hulk's going to relate to those previous iterations. But it'd be interesting to see a little bit more. And they've kind of showed a couple clips where they show Captain America punching a punching bag, which some of us...
I've seen at the end of Captain America movie. It was at the end of the trailers.
Yeah, and that he was... letting out some frustration, and he's preparing for battle. Tony Stark, wherever he's going to prepare for battle, there's never going to be showing him doing nothing. So if we saw something like Hawkeye just shooting a whole bunch of shit on a mission, whether they don't have to be fighting the big bads or whatever, but maybe in the beginning of the movie we see this introduction of how Hawkeye became to be on this team and what he's doing there and his skill level, that would be awesome. And Black Widow, it'd be nice to see something a little bit more than an Iron Man 2 shot where she just kicks a bunch of guys' asses. Come in and show how she got into S.H.I.E.L.D., how Hawkeye came to be a part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and look that out.
Now, the one thing I am curious about how they're going to play off, and the thing I haven't seen in any of the trailers, is I haven't seen Hawkeye's quiver, and I haven't seen any type of storage compartments on Black Widow, so where the hell are they getting their ammo from, and where's the arrows coming from?
No. That's a very good point. The bow that we saw in Thor for Hawkeye was a full bow. But we didn't see much else from the suit there, and there was no appearance of it in the trailer anymore. It was him holding a bow with an arrow already set. So where is that going to go? It'd be interesting to see a little bit more of the costume. And at some point in time, I'm wondering, are we going to see some sort of hood over Hawkeye's face or some sort of mask that kind of plays to the character that's in the comic books a little bit, just at least as kind of a homage?
Well, I think what's killing the hood idea is the fact that, Green Arrow did it in Smallville for 3 seasons. So, I don't know if we're going to see a hood, but I'd like to see at least some sort of Lone Ranger mask or something on him, something to cover him up,
Any mask on these characters. You saw from the first set of posters that came out, Iron Man wasn't wearing a mask. A lot of the clips and pictures and stills we've seen, Captain America isn't wearing a mask. Thor never wears a helmet. So, is the mask just going to go by the wayside for films like this?
Right. And also, a little foreshadowing, too, that they're doing. It's been announced that the Power Man movie is going through. Iron Fist has been in production for God knows how long. I believe Doctor Strange they're looking at doing, too, as well as Ant-Man. So we can possibly see these characters appear in the second Avengers film. And they've already locked down Iron Man 3 and have the script going on that one, too.
And actually went into production this week. They're building sets this week in North Carolina for Iron Man 3. So these films have a popularity, and they're already rolling forward. So it would be cool to see. And Josh Whedon's already talking about what he said today was a smaller-sized Avengers sequel. So maybe now that they've told a big, giant story, which is, if we're to believe rumors, going to be 150 minutes long. That's 2 hours and 30 minutes. Kind of tie it down and maybe start to tell smaller stories, two-hour stories.
Right, when it comes to Avengers, though, it's got to be the big battle. There's got to be a lot of battles when it comes to the Avengers.
Well, there's a lot of characters, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. So we're at the 15-minute mark. Why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to discuss WonderCon.
Greetings, Forbidden Panelites. This is Benjamin Gleibert, Director of Publishing for Symantec, San Diego's premium comic book publisher and home of Mythoi and the webcomic The Undergrounds. Check us out online at Symantec.com. That's Symantec.com. For now, enjoy your geeky gurus, AJ and Brian. Symantec Publishing. Find the meaning in print.
And we're back, still in line for John Carter at midnight. But we're not the only ones in line now. Joining us is Richard. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Richard is very bitter. He just spent $40 to have his tablet and goes a shield hid. But what can you say?
Hey, it's worth it. As long as I don't get scratches on my tablet, it saves me from having to buy another one.
Be cool, wrap your tool. Something like that.
You're a fool.
Okay.
Anyway, so the next topic of discussion we have, and we're going to try and make this wrap up the show pretty shortly, is WonderCon. WonderCon is coming up this week, and for the first time ever, Forbidden Panel has a big fucking booth at WonderCon, a 10x10 space that we paid a whole hell of a lot of money for, just so we can stand across the way from the bathrooms and have easy access. So,
everybody's got to go to the bathroom, man. It's worth it. That's actually probably the best space. I mean, not visually.
If they come up and say, we're out of toilet paper, here's $3 for a fucking book, and run in there with my book, I'm beating your ass. Just saying.
You could dream about beating my ass. You know what? I'd take the beating. I'd throw the fight just to laugh my ass off about that. So,
see? And it'll be Daniel's book, and he'll cry. But
paper cuts would be funny, too, though.
So we have, WonderCon is coming up next week. What are you excited about?
I'm excited that it's in Southern California. I think that the new venue at Anaheim Convention Center will give it a different dynamic than it's had in the past. Typically, it's in San Francisco. I was there last year. They had two or three panels that were people waiting in really long lines for. But other than that, it was just a really calm, cool place to walk around. You could walk up to artists. You could walk up to writers. And you could pick stuff up and talk to anybody, get autographs, buy comics, buy t-shirts, everything was there, and it was very low-key compared to something like San Diego Comic-Con. Bringing it down to Anaheim will be very interesting to see. Anaheim Convention Center has a very big exhibit hall floor, and if you've looked at the map at all on the website, it's huge. They've got tons of booths, and so it'll be interesting to see, will we still be able to walk up and talk to our artists, how many more artists will we get, how many more writers will we get because of this new location. It's a lot closer to DC Comics, this new headquarters. It's a lot closer to Hollywood, which we've already seen with all the movie announcements, as well as all of the individual artists and writers who have come on and signed on to be a part of this.
You don't think it's going to be clusterfucky and that it's a new location kind of like thrown together?
The only thing that I think we're going to see any issues with are the movie panels, because anytime Hollywood gets involved, just like we watched with San Diego Comic-Con, the second they started bringing Twilight and they started bringing other Hollywood movies out to that con.
I'll say Twilight on my show.
I'm sorry. The line started to double, quadruple. People were spending the night to go to these things. So I think that when Emma Stone's going to show up at the Amazing Spider-Man panel, people are going to be in line very early in the morning, if not the night before. I will be.
I'm going to roofie her water.
Yeah. I think we're all going to have to team up on that, just so we can be near her.
The look on Richard's face is amazing.
It's just creepy.
Richard, have you ever been to a WonderCon?
No. No, I haven't been to a con in over 10 years because I've always worked. My bosses are always assholes. So it's kind of hard. I'm excited, though. I haven't been to one in so long. It's got me quite happy, and I hope to actually have money to be able to spend and to be able to get out of the dungeon of the booth.
I'll talk to your boss and see if he can get you some more hours on that.
That would be great.
Speaking of the boss and the dungeon of a booth, AJ, how are you feeling about this? I mean, Forbidden Panel has a giant booth at WonderCon, one of the biggest cons in the country. How does this make you feel? What are you expecting? What are you worried about? Those kinds of things.
How do you feel to have anything giant associated with you at all?
Well, you know, I'm used to hanging out with big guys, so that's okay. I'm freaking the fuck out. I spent all day scrambling around, getting last minute stuff put together. I don't think it's really going to be calming for me until 2 hours after they open the doors. After Justin and I do our first signing at the booth, then maybe I'll be okay with it. But, I mean, otherwise I'm going to be freaking out all the way through it. Especially if we run out of product, I'll be freaking out about that. But I'm still excited that this is our first big con. Like, we've done lots of little cons and had small press and artist alley booths and stuff. This time we have an exhibitor booth, and I'm excited. I'm hoping we get to see a lot of people come by and see us. We're at booth 8822, by the way. Come by and see us, come by and see all the stuff we have. And I think it's a good timing. I think the timing is right. Because we have not only our titles, EKS, but we have, you know, The Plague, which is now being released by Daniel under our banner. We have Lou's new book, Blackjack Slappers, which is coming out. And we have El Super Maximo, which is also coming out. We'll have all that at the booth. So it's not just our books, so it's not a lot of pressure on just Justin and myself. You know, the pressure gets divided up. I think what's really going to be weird for me is not being at the booth all day. And that'll be something I have to get used to. But otherwise, I'm freaking the fuck out.
And there's a cool event happening during the con you're going to be participating in. I'm also trying to participate in the Creator Connection, Comic Book Creator Connection. What are your thoughts on something like this, and what are you hoping to get out of it?
More minions.
or Minions. Okay, I'm looking for an artist, but I think it's the idea that they're.
You know, you just reminded me that I have to fucking put together a one-page story and print out 25 copies of it. Thanks for adding my stress level, Martin.
You act like none of this is already in your head. I'm sure there's 10 stories.
No, honestly, I forgot about having to print out.
And you can pay me later for consulting or something. But the idea that we're starting to see a lot of.
You know where he works?
Yeah.
To pay you.
Well, we have a different sort of payment between us, Richard. But the idea that...
Welcome to the fold, Richard.
No. There's no folds.
Networking events like this at cons are becoming really popular, so it'll be cool to see how this works out and to talk to other people who are getting into the industry or maybe have been in the industry and are looking for new talent and things like that.
Now, what the Comic Creator Connection is, it's basically a speed dating deal that WonderCon has set up, so where on one side of the floor of the table will be artists just sitting there. On the other side will be writers, and we have 5 minutes to go to each and every artist that's up there and pitch a story to them and also review their art, and hopefully there's some sort of connection there where you know, a book is get created out of it. So that I'm kind of excited in that, you know, I've a gajillion stories going up in my head and not enough artists to supply them. So it'll be nice if we can walk out of there with at least one artist. 3 would be preferable. 10 would be perfect. All of them would be awesome. If I somehow swing all the artists over to FP side, then you know, then the circle of life is complete. But
just make sure you show a little skin. That might help.
Yeah, I'll show your skin.
No. We need to bring some kind of cute assistant with us to help out.
You are my cute assistant.
And now I'm blushing.
You're hitting on him. It's just crazy.
I just like to watch Richard's reaction to anything, so...
In addition, for WonderCon, real quick to kind of tap on this, which is going to be a huge part of it, of course, Hollywood is coming to WonderCon. We had a formal announcement that Emma Stone will be there with Amazing Spider-Man. There's a 21 Jump Street panel. There's going to be a...
Which, why it's at fucking WonderCon makes no sense. One of the things about WonderCon that I used to love was that it was all pure comic books. And now it's Comic-Con out. You know, they're slowly turning into a media convention, and that's what's bothering me the most about it.
Exactly. A lot of it's become, this is the demographic they're hoping to advertise to. WonderCon started last year with Green Lantern. They brought Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively in, and it sold out that day of Comic-Con. The tickets immediately disappeared. So to be having something like this happen will be interesting. And then Prometheus is also going to be there, and Sir Ridley Scott's coming down to do the panel, show footage.
Sir Ridley Scott.
Show footage. And then he's leaving from WonderCon to head over to a theater in Anaheim to show a private screening of the new trailer that will be released after WonderCon.
He's heading across the street. Don't make it sound like he's got to travel somewhere far. He's going across the street to Downtown Disney to show the movie there.
I didn't want to plug them on the show. But, you know, they're going to be doing this private screening to show that trailer. And so Hollywood's coming to Anaheim in a big way with this con. And in that sense, I'm wondering, like you were saying, it's getting Comic-Con'd out. Is this going to become a permanent show in Anaheim? And are we going to see Comic-Con, the sequel, in Anaheim every year?
You know, I can't really say much on it right now. I can't toss my judgment on it yet because it hasn't happened. But honestly, one of the things I liked about WonderCon was that I wasn't at home. You know, that I got to travel out to San Francisco and enjoy that, you know, time away and just be surrounded in a geek environment. My concern is that you're talking about Disneyland on one side, WonderCon on the other side, and WonderCon is being held in the home of E3. There's just too much mixing of genres at that point. There's just too much going on that, you know, if they launched a nuke, it would take all those geeks out at once.
But since it's in Anaheim, does that mean it's going to have, like, more Marvel? Disney's right there. Disney's headquarters is literally right there.
Exactly.
You have more Marvel stuff. But looking at the schedule, it's more DC related. Well, how is that?
Because Marvel doesn't have to do a damn thing. Marvel can legally have all their people stand out in front of fucking Disneyland 30 feet away from WonderCon, and they have a booth.
Very true. They can do anything around downtown.
And half these people that are coming to WonderCon, you know, have passes. You know, they bought tickets for one of those days to go to Disneyland.
Yes, but if you're coming a distance and you're right there by Disneyland, you know, you don't go there like 300 times a year like most of us do.
Right.
And I guess it would be a big deal.
These guys are flying in for out of state. You know, they took they're down there Monday. You know, and they're going to go to Disneyland and Downtown Disneyland and California Adventure Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday, they're going to take a break, and Friday, they're going to go to WonderCon. They're having an entire vacation right now. So Marvel's making their fucking money. and they're making their money off of WonderCon. So for them, it's optimal that WonderCon stays in town. However, San Francisco is losing out a shitload of money because of it.
Right. And it's a very eventful week. It's also St. Patrick's Day, which means there's going to be a lot of events happening around the area as well.
Which means the Hulk will be the most commonly dressed-up character so that nobody gets pinched.
I've actually been trying to find a shirt that is green, that is not Green Lantern or the Incredible Hulk, to wear that day.
Green Arrow?
Yeah. Green Arrow would be a good option. Of course, we'll have to see how many people are there for the new Hollywood Arrow TV show that's going to be coming from CW in the fall, provided it gets picked up.
I'm just shaking my head in shame. It's the CW.
Hey, they put out two good series in their existence.
Name them.
Yeah.
I was guessing. I don't know.
Well, since CW came on, that was what chased away Buffy, and Buffy ran over to UPN.
Last season.
Right. And they brought on other shows that have come and gone. The shows that seem to do well are things like Supernatural is one of the...
You just gauge yourself up right there, buddy.
Dude, Supernatural's awesome. I don't care what you said.
But it's starting
to
turn...
I'm not sexually attracted to the characters. I like the stories.
You're sexually attracted to the stories?
Yes.
Okay.
And Supernatural is not a bad show, but it's starting to turn into a Twihard fan base, and it's one of those shows where it's about the sex appeal and getting the teenage girls to watch the show. And that's
it's going to happen to Smallville. I mean,
right.
It's like it had, just like this season of Supernatural, like the last season of Smallville, it had a major, awesome storyline that none of the weekly shows addressed. So how was it even possible? Mm-hmm. It's like little tidbits here. And then,
we saw the smoke called Darkseid, like how many times? Like, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then when he showed up, like 10 minutes of the...
No, it wasn't even that. It was so horrible, and it was such a... It had so much potential, and they just juggled it off in the air. Just like every week, I'd say more than half of that season had nothing to do with Darkseid.
Huh?
It's just like if you watch Supernatural right now, they have this. It's a really cool idea, and none of their shows, like for the last, I don't know, six episodes, have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but you still keep going back in hopes that they tie into it.
I've been watching it since it started, so why stop now?
See, they got you.
It's like crack.
Such a nice guy.
So, WonderCon is going to be a huge deal. It'll be very interesting to see. Like you were saying, maybe you'll hold off judgment until afterwards. It sounds like it's going to be a big success in terms of ticket sales. And, of course, the city, you know, everyone's going to be all over that town. Anaheim is known for everything.
And unfortunately, the way that the city itself is set up, they can't, you know, there's no ocean to block off one end, like San Diego. San Diego can close off a part of the town and not have to be worried. You got three sides to be coming in at, and even then, two of them are kind of blocked. So the only main entryway to Comic-Con is the gas plant, to the gas lab district, and kind of chokeholds everybody in. It's a nice little area, whereas Disney doesn't have that. Anaheim doesn't have that. So everyone's going to be scattered to the wind, trying to figure out... It's just going to be too much, I think.
Right.
And that's a lot of people in one town. San Diego brings in like 200,000 people per con. Disneyland does that every day. You know, added on to like what the 70,000 tickets that have already sold so far for WonderCon, plus anything else that might be going on. Heaven forbid if there's a ball game in town. So.
Well, and then you also have things like Knott's Berry Farm, which is just down the freeway a few minutes, and all of the other amusement park style things that are there for the tourists that come here on vacation. So there's going to be a lot of people. Plus, you have all these local people who are going to drive down back and forth every day. They're not staying
there.
And
the Ducks are playing.
Yeah.
I believe
and hockey's in town, yeah.
Yeah, I believe the Ducks have a home game.
See, and everybody's already pissed off enough that I took their hotel rooms now. We're taking the hotel rooms away, so now the Disney people are going to get pissed off about that. So it'll be something to see. It'll be awkward.
But it will be huge for Forbidden Panel to have the booth.
Well, what's even a bigger event going on before WonderCon is the Alien Empire Comic Book Club meeting. That's going to be better than anything you see at WonderCon right now, I'll tell you that.
I am knocking on wood that you said that, because that's a whole lot of tension on my back now.
I got to share it.
Yeah. It'll be fun, to be in that location and have a comic book club. For you guys who don't know, AJ and I run a little group called the Inland Empire Comic Book Club, and we've been trying to read a new graphic novel every month and having a group discussion. People like Richard join us and come to meetings and just kind of hang out and geek out about comic books and comic book-related things. And so to be hosting this at a con locally in our area is really cool.
With beer.
With beer. And
drink.
Shh. You're killing my persona here.
Drink enough for both of us.
There you go. And Richard's my stunt drinker.
There you go. You live vicariously through his beverage intake.
And I even pee for him when he gets drunk.
So we'll have that Thursday night, but then we're kicking off. That's a kickoff for us, really. You know, we have that, and then 3 days of a con where it's not just hanging on the Forbidden Panel booth.
Dinner with FP on Friday night.
Right, we have the dinner Friday night. We have a guest coming to sign.
Daniel Corey and David Dechiaduo from Moriarty from Image Comics.
And then hopefully episode 91 of the panel cast will be recorded throughout the weekend of the con as well.
Why is everyone looking at me?
That was a hint.
We shall see. I'll probably be uploading photos and information and news and everything as the week goes on, being as that I'm in the hotel room by myself. So.
Yeah, so it is a little weird that he's going to be in his own hotel room by himself, but it's probably safer for the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm doing it for you guys.
He's going to walk out of that show every day pulling what's left of his hair and praying that he gets enough rest to do it again tomorrow without beheading one of us.
One of you, perhaps.
So it'll be a big thing. Check out. We're going to be posting the schedule on Forbidden Panel and talking about.
As soon as you're done editing it, yeah.
Yes, we'll be talking about everything that and everybody who will be appearing there, and then also as well posting photos and updates from throughout the weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. WonderCon. So, having said that, why don't we go ahead and segue into one of the other things that's going to happen at WonderCon is the release party of Forbidden Panel's newest published book called The Plagued, written by Daniel Whitfield and Camila Alara. It's a pretty awesome book, another zombie book. I'm very bitter about that, but at the same time, I can't argue with the talent that's behind it. So, I'm going to go ahead and segue into an interview I did with Daniel, talking about how excited he was with the book, and then we'll come back and say goodbye. Hey everybody, this is AJ, and I'm sitting here all alone in a parked car with the creator and artist of Forbidden Panel's newest book, The Plagued, Mr. Daniel Whitfield. How you doing?
Doing all right.
You seem a little nervous. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Are you sure?
Yep.
All right, well, tell us about your book.
It's a zombie story. It's a book about zombies. Follows a zombie in the first issue and leads into other zombies. Zombie book.
You're very nervous,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah.
Don't be so nervous, man. You're here to pump yourself up. Come on, man. Get a little more detail about the book. Where'd you come up with the idea?
I have no idea where I came up with the idea, actually. Just talking about it with Camille, the other artist working on the book. And we were talking about a 24-hour comic book day and ideas that we had, and that's pretty much how it came about. I mean, I was trying to come up with a story that I could do very simplistically and quickly, and that didn't need too much dialogue or anything like that, and came up with the storyline for it and wrote it out. It worked out pretty well. I was able to complete over half of it at 24-hour comic book day, inked, colored, all that good stuff, and worked on it a lot since then, so.
Are you happy with the final product?
I'm very happy with it. I'm very excited to see it and get it in my hands and sell it to other people.
Is this your first book?
It is. It's my first comic book, and it's pretty great. Enjoying the feeling of having something printed for the first time, so.
All right. As you can tell, he's just a wordsmith, this guy. You'll understand when you read the comic about just how wordy he gets.
Yeah, and I say that a lot.
I it up a lot too, don't worry. What are, now this book is very unusual. For those that have not seen it, it will be up on the FP store here pretty soon, and we're also premiering it at WonderCon, which is coming up next week. Are you excited about WonderCon? Is this your first time going to a convention behind a booth?
Well, am I allowed to curse on your podcast?
Fuck yes.
Yeah, I'm super fucking excited about it. It's kind of ridiculous. Really pumped up to go there and buy a bunch of stuff and sell a bunch of stuff, hopefully. So
it is your first time behind the booth?
It is definitely my first time behind a booth, and I couldn't be more excited.
it's a good time to have a booth. I mean, your first time and 60,000 people will be seeing your stuff. How does that make you feel?
I don't want to think about it. It makes me more nervous than I am doing this interview.
Awesome. His pants did get a little wet when I mentioned the 60,000 people.
Yeah.
And climbing at WonderCon, which is what, like, the second biggest convention out there for us. And we will have Image Comic creators sitting at our booth right next to your stuff signing. How does that make you feel?
Again, don't want to think about it. Try to avoid thinking about it as much as possible until I'm there and my jaw drops and can't stop staring at people that are looking at my work and admiring it while I'm just staring at them awestruck and awkward.
The initial shock will hit you when somebody says, "Will you please sign this for me?"
Yeah, probably. That and when somebody first buys my book and I'm acting all grateful and they're like, "Oh, it's no big deal." I feel like, "No, you have no idea how big of a deal this is."
So instead of them asking for a picture of you, you'll be asking for a picture of them.
I'll probably be taking pictures of every single person that buys an issue of my book. Just to prove that they bought it. But, and I'll be more than happy to sign every single thing that goes out of my hands there.
Awesome. So yeah, you originally developed this idea for 24-Hour Comic Book Day. And this is where I met Daniel. I saw him there drawing. And first I was a little pissed. I was like, well, I'm already doing a zombie book. Why is there two people doing a zombie book here? But, you know, I looked over his work and was really impressed with what I had saw and immediately said, "You need to come give me your book and let me print it for you." And so that's how it came to be. So in that aspect, I mean, I know you're excited about everything else. Are you excited also to be part of Forbidden Panel and working with us and letting us publish your book?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, actually. I'm excited that get to be there at this, well, not the start, but the early stages of a publishing company, as opposed to just go in with a big publishing company that's like Image or DC or something like that and have these psychotic expectations that I don't feel like I could ever meet. So I'm definitely excited to be with Forbidden Panel, and I couldn't be more happy just to be able to do comic books in general.
Now, how many, going back to the series itself, the Plagued, I mean, you said you just came up with the idea just to do for 24-Hour Comic Book Day, but I mean, is there, there's no actual thought, more thought went into it, like how the characters are created or anything like that, or storylines? I mean, what's the process with that? Are you already on your second book? You're 10 pages into it, and you've thumbnailed a lot of the second book. So what, how did that process go about?
Well, with the storyline of the Plague that is currently running, which is the subtitle is Lives of the Dead, that I came up with for 24-Hour Comic Book Day. Zombie stories I've done for a while, and I have actually a 5-issue run already written for a second kind of storyline, subtitle, kind of basic comic.
It's like another story.
Yeah, another trade, probably. And ideas past that, but for this initial one, I wanted something that you can kind of just pick up and get the feel of the kind of the world and the artwork and the space that the Plagued really is.
So no real character creation, or?
Well, I mean, there was character creation there. I mean, for this first book, not a ton of character creation. I mean, I tried to think about backstories for characters and stuff like that, and definitely see more of that in issue 2, and as it goes further, issue 3 will have a little bit more, and it'll definitely have a lot more dialogue and conversing between characters, because, I mean, the first issue really only has zombies up until a certain point, where people do come into play, but they're more being attacked and on their own, so that's definitely something that I want to incorporate and bring into it and get to better points. So, but, I mean, for a start, it's a good start. I'm excited about it. I wish that there was already more and that there was more to show, but it'll get there.
How is it getting easier?
I feel like it's not getting easier, but only because my expectations are higher for myself, and there's more pressure on me for that. In the aspects of art-wise, it is a little bit easier because Camille Olaris, my co-creator, other artist working on it, will be doing more on the second book. She did the lettering and the cover for the first book, and for the second book, she'll be doing the watercolor washes for the background as well. And that'll take a load off of me, because that's a lot of time. And that's really something that she loves to do, so I'm excited to pass that off for her, and I completely approve and admire her artwork, so that'll be great as well.
And that's code for, please take the shit off my hands so I can do something else.
Yeah. So I can get more done faster. Yeah.
Awesome. So what are you going to have at WonderCon?
Lots of things. Trying to get more and more things. Been working on, I'm going to have postcards for advertisement, obviously, business cards. I'll have bookmarks there and buttons of various different zombies that I've drawn. And some sticker designs, possibly prints, tote bags, all things along that line. I'll probably have a bag kind of set up with everything that you can purchase for, I don't know how much money in, so.
So, if you come now, it's free.
No.
Well, it sounds like you're, like, just getting prepared and pumped up for WonderCon, so that's pretty cool. I like seeing the excitement.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and it's definitely a process, and I'm dedicating a ton of time to making it as good as possible.
Now, how long until we see the second book? I mean, the first book isn't even out yet, but I mean, how long do we have to wait between books?
I'm hoping to get one done at least every 3 months. So, I mean, at the rate it's going now, I probably won't see the second one for 4 months because it'll take a month to print, but it shouldn't be more than a month and a half before I'm completely done with issue two after WonderCon. So.
Okay, so it's March now. So the next book you think will probably be done. Comic-Con.
Yeah, definitely be done by Comic-Con for issue two. Should even definitely have it printed by then. But.
Cool. Are you going to be working on any other projects besides The Plagued? Or is that your main focus right now?
I'll probably be writing things in my spare time, trying to definitely develop further other ideas I have for different things. And I don't want to stay in zombies forever, but I definitely enjoy it, and definitely love the gore and grotesqueness of zombies. So.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 22. Going to be 23 in May.
He's too young. We're going to have to fire him.
Don't do that. I don't have anything else going on. It's too early in my life.
Exactly. So you have to crush your dreams now before you get too far along and get all big-headed. Because, yeah. I know where to hide the body. It's okay.
Don't do that.
What are, let's say, everything goes 100% perfect for you. What is your ultimate goal with not only this series, but in comics in general?
For that to be my career. To not have to do anything else, and because that's what I really love to do and want to do and have always wanted to do. It would be great if that was the only thing I had to do as opposed to my 8-hour-a-day job at Target that I'm sporting right now, my khaki pants and red sweater.
Yay, Target.
Not yay, Target.
Who are your influences and what are some of your favorite comics out? Who are your influences growing up and what was your favorite comic book growing up?
My favorite comic book growing up was Spider-Man. Who doesn't love Spider-Man? Only people who love Superman too much. But
Or Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, Dr. Octopus. I feel like there's a love-hate relationship there.
He did bang Aunt May.
I don't want to think about that either. One more thing. But definitely Spider-Man when I was growing up, and a couple other comics here and there. I lived in a very secluded area, hard to get comic books there without ordering them on the internet, which, as some people don't remember, wasn't a thing when I was growing up so much. Couldn't really order books off of there, so...
I don't want to hear it. When I was growing up, we used payphones.
Yeah, but at least you lived in a place where you could get comic books.
It don't matter. It's Stater Brothers.
My selection was Borders, the end.
You still lose.
Okay.
You're 22, I'm 38. Fuck off.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. You're old.
Get out of my car.
Older. For a long time, you know, I knew Marvel and things like that, and of course watched, like, all the 90s television of cartoon comic books, things
Spider-Man
like that.
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah, the worst theme songs ever. And X-Men. I love X-Men, but don't like Wolverine so much on his own. I think that's a load of crap. Deadpool, I love Deadpool.
Yeah, but I'm talking more artists and writers.
Artists, writers, I don't know. I don't really read artists, writers for superheroes so much, so Marvel and DC are kind of out there. I love Vertigo Comics. One of my favorites is Sandman, and another is Swamp Thing. I really love old Swamp Thing.
Alan Moore Swamp Thing?
Alan Moore Swamp Thing, yeah, definitely. All things Alan Moore, though. Alan Moore is just a great writer and influence.
Nutbag.
Yeah, total. I mean, have you seen his beard and hair? Or his lifestyle choices?
I was going to say, because that was my beard and hair last month, so I don't want to hear that shit. You just keep insulting me. Keep going, buddy.
Okay.
When's the next... You'll never see your book.
Well, that would be unfortunate. But Watchmen, the one superhero comic book that really did influence me, because the characters are so well drawn in that book. And then B for Vendetta, I really like I Am Legend, the comic book version of that was really great, and I love the seclusion and just being able to pull one character to really develop an entire story. That is it's hard to do and unique in comic books.
And you know, it was originally a novel.
Well, of course it was.
By Richard Matheson.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just saying that the way that it was done as a comic book.
The comic book adaptation.
Yes, the adaptation version.
All I did was draw Richard Matheson's words. I'm a writer, so I get to be bitter about this stuff. Oh. Writers get no love. No love.
Uh-huh.
Except for Kirkman.
Yeah, he gets a lot of love recently.
Now, who are your current influences and what is your favorite book now?
Well, I've been reading a lot of Lock and Key recently. Went to the comic book club meeting with Forbidden Panel and everybody that was there, and kind of just fell in love with that story. And on top of that, the line work and things that he uses in that is a lot of what I aspire to do with my own comics. So I've taken a look at that for sure. Definitely taking a little inspiration from that for issue 2, so the artwork will be better developed for issue 2 for sure. And things along those lines, I read most of Kirkman's work just because if you're doing a zombie story, you got to read other zombie stories out there. Otherwise, you're copying things on accident, and you definitely don't want that to happen.
That's one of the things, like, I had to do being an author of a zombie book myself is, I mean, granted, Kirkman's Walking Dead is a phenomenal book, but just to make sure I'm not doing anything that anybody else is out there doing, you know, you got to keep up. And that's the excuse I use every time I go down the store and buy it, is it's just research.
Just research? I go buy it every month for, I love the storyline.
Research.
Okay. American Vampire is one that I really love, and that's what made me really want to do watercolor washes. Albuquerque in that is great. Scott Snyder is great also in that. And that's definitely one of my current loves in comic books. And then Brian Wood with Northlanders. I know it got canceled, and it's ending in, like, two more issues, and that couldn't have me more depressed, but I really love that storyline. I love just the Vikings just massacring each other, and the idea of short stories that all end in tragedy. I love that idea. That's kind of something I'm going for to an extent also, but not always tragedy, because then you just got a bunch of depressing stories and no one...
Then you're golf.
Yeah, then you're just too sad. Aww. Going back to 2000s emo, nobody wants that.
No.
I don't have black hair that's parted to one side, and I don't plan on having it ever.
He says now.
Yeah.
You're the next Tony Vasquez.
The only way I'm going to get that haircut is if I'm copying Doctor Who. But yeah, those are my influences currently.
Awesome. Good to know. So basically what you're telling us is that you're a hipster and a trendy person.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm an asshole because I like to make fun of people.
Yeah. But you're the one wearing flannel. Plaid. Whatever.
I'm a child of the 90s. What do you want?
Yeah. I grew up in the 90s. Sort of.
Anyway, moving on.
10 when it ended.
moving on. We're going to see, we'll see you at WonderCon, booth number 822. You and Camille will both be there. The schedule will be posted at the end of the podcast, so you guys will be able to see it. Any final words to say before we say goodbye?
Yeah, go to my website. It's theplagued.net. It's not that hard to remember. Definitely easy to follow. I usually post everything that's going on, so I've been posting screen printing shots from the stuff that I'm going to be making, zombie portraits that I do for events that I'm going to, art shows that I'm going to be in, and the same for Camille. So, I mean, it's definitely something to check out if you're interested in the book and get, like, sneak peeks of different things that are going to be there. So, check it out.
Are you done stroking your own ego?
Whatever.
Pumping yourself
up. Stroke my ego in your podcast.
Thank you once again for joining us. We'll go ahead and send it back over to the main show. And we're back. Yeah, that was Daniel Whitfield talking about his new book, The Plague. That'll be coming out of WonderCon on Friday. Go ahead and check the schedule on Forbidden Panel, and you'll get to see when exactly he'll be out there. The book looks awesome. I held it in my hands today and did weird, obscene things with it. So if you find that one, you get a prize, I swear. But I think that's pretty much all we have time for. Martin, did you want to say anything before we go?
We hope to see everybody at WonderCon. Make sure, even if you just stop by and say hi and give AJ a high five or slap on the ass, it's going to be an awesome show, and we look forward to being a part of it.
Now, I'll do this. First, five people to come by the booth and say that they listened to the episode and was told to come down there, you'll get a free ZKS sticker and a free Plague sticker. So, yeah.
And we'll take a picture down with you.
Don't scare them away, Martin. We want them to come to the booth. Anyway, thanks to Richard for joining us for that short segment. He went outside because he was tired of us. For Martin, this is AJ. Thank you for listening to episode number 90 of the Panelcast. See you at WonderCon.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.